Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The boy in today's gospel who is sick with a fever, and his father, hearing that our Lord was just coming into the town, asked our Lord to come down to heal his son before the fever took his life. Now, the fever can be thought of as a type or symbol of venial sin. What fever does to the body, the venial sin does in the soul. And just as the fever in itself is not a deadly thing, neither is venial sin. But if it is not treated, it gradually will become a deadly thing. The same can be said of venial sin. We know from our basic catechism lessons that venial sin does not kill the soul, as I just said, but only makes it sick. And it's for this very reason that so many Catholics, even perhaps the majority of Catholics, have this attitude towards venial sin that it's not so bad. And implicitly, they say, well, such and such an action is only a venial sin. I'm not going to go to hell. Or I'm satisfied with simply avoiding mortal sin and keeping myself from the fires of hell. But this attitude is dead wrong. It is not worthy of any follower of Christ. We do not act this way with regard to sickness, for when we do our best to avoid any type of sickness, and if we have the misfortune to contract a sickness, well, then we do our best to cure that illness. But with regard to venial sin, the sickness of the soul, we neither take the pains to avoid it nor to cure ourselves of this sickness. This attitude is wrong also because God did not tell us to love him somewhat or to love him sort of or any of that. God did not set any limits to the degree of our love of him. He said very plainly, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart and thy whole soul and thy whole mind. Now, while deliberate venial sin does not destroy this love of God, it does plainly cause it to diminish. It shows plainly that we do not love God with our whole heart, and we are not following that most basic of all the commandments of God, to love him with our whole heart. And this is something that all of the saints understood. Saint Benedict Joseph Labre, he was known as the pilgrim saint. He had the vocation of going from church to church, begging for alms and all of that. Well, he had a very great hatred for even the smallest venial sins and the smallest faults. There's a story in his life that says he was in charge of picking strawberries from his uncle's strawberry patch. And a little girl of the house, she was 7 years old, she came in and asked Saint Benedict for just one or two strawberries. And Saint Benedict said, I cannot do this, but if you get my uncle's permission, well, then sure, I'll give you a couple of strawberries, but you must ask him first. The little girl went back into the house and found the uncle and asked him if she could have a few. And he said no. And so the little girl went back out to the saint, who is still in the garden, and said, well, your uncle said no, but he won't know if you give me just one or two. He won't miss a thing. And Saint Benedict said, as any saint would, well, God will see it. God will know it. The girl said, well, it's just a little thing of no consequence, just two strawberries. And Saint Benedict said, a little thing, anything which offends God cannot be a trifle. We begin by little things and by degrees pass on to greater. You might steal, he continues, a few pins one day, then the next a little pair of scissors, and then on to greater things. Be sorry, little girl, for such an insinuation, and confess it as soon as possible. This statement is not in any way excessive. We all love to hear stories such as that one, and we agree wholeheartedly how Saint Benedict, in this case, was absolutely correct in telling the young girl. But how does it happen that when a priest corrects us of some small fault, or when another fellow Catholic or a parent corrects us of a very small fault, we always seem to say, just like that little girl did, it's only a small thing. It's of no consequence. We end up just like that little girl, and we don't even notice it. We make our souls sick with venial sin, and there is great danger in this attitude. Why is there danger in venial sin, the commission of venial sin? Well, first of all, because it breaks the law of God, even if only in a very small way, or if it only breaks a tiny law of God. Christ tells us, though, if you love me, keep my commandments. Not just part of them, or not just the major ones, but if you love me, keep my commandments. Venial sin is an offense against an infinite being, God. And therefore, even the tiniest venial sin is far worse than even the greatest temporal evils. You see, the commission of even a single white lie is worse than the death of millions of babies who are aborted every day. One tiny white lie is much worse. For example, to tell you how bad a thing venial sin is, a father has a grave duty to take care of the physical welfare of his children, to preserve their life, to protect them from all sorts of harm, and even to take care of the soul of his children. But it would never be permitted by Almighty God to tell even the tiniest of white lies, which is considered one of the smallest sins that there is, it would not be permitted him to tell that lie even to save the life of all of his children. Let's go even farther. It would not be permitted that father to tell that lie, even if he knew if he didn't tell it, his children would lose their souls for all eternity. It would never be permitted to tell that tiny white lie. So such a terrible thing is even the smallest of venial sins. And you might be thinking just what that little girl was saying, Father, you're excessive in what you say at the pulpit. But it is true that what I'm saying here is true. It is in no way excessive. This is what all theologians will teach and what the saints have all said. Nothing can justify committing a sin. Well, secondly, venial sin takes away, or rather diminishes, the beauty of our soul. There was once a saint who prayed that God might show him how his soul looked at that very moment in the sight of God. The vision was granted him, and he saw that his soul had just a couple venial sins on it, and it was such a terrible sight, the saint said, that he thought he would die of fear. And so he begged Almighty God to remove this vision, and it was removed once more. Such a terrible thing as venial sin. Well, thirdly, venial sin weakens our faith, and it weakens our hatred of sin as well. And little by little, we become attached to our sins, small sins at first, and then on to greater. It also, fourthly, checks the receptions of God's graces. You see, when we neglect to accept the graces of God, and we go on to commit sin, then God will be more and more reluctant to give us graces in the future. And the less graces we have, the more difficult it is to save our souls. Fifthly, deliberate venial sin produces lukewarmness. You see, it should be the mindset of every Catholic, without exception, little child, young adult, or old person. We should all have this great desire to progress in the spiritual life, to every day strive to become saints. But when we commit deliberate venial sins, little by little, we lose this desire to become saints. And then it leads us to lose our soul. And this leads us to the sixth point of venial sin, that venial sin leads to mortal sin. It's true. There's a saying that 1,000 idiots don't equal a single genius. Well, 1,000 venial sins do not equal one mortal sin. And that's true too. But venial sin does dispose us to commit mortal sin. In Ecclesiasticus it says, "He that contemneth or despises small things shall fall little by little." The father in today's gospel sees that his son has a fever, and he begs our Lord to come and heal him because he knows if this fever is not treated, it will gradually get worse and worse, and the child will die. So we must go to our Lord and ask him to cure the fever of venial sin in our soul, lest it get worse and worse, little by little, and cause us to go on to kill our souls by mortal sin. To give some examples of how little things dispose to greater, that is, venial sin disposes to mortal sins, we can look at sacred scripture and find two very good examples. In the life of King David, we know that it was a simple glance, immodest glance, towards a lady that led him to commit adultery. It was, in the history of Judas, just a little bit of an attachment to money. And at first it was just perhaps an imperfection, and gradually you see in the story of the gospel how at one point he was in charge of the purse of the apostles. He paid all the debts and the bills and everything, paid for the food and everything like that for our Lord and the apostles. And he little by little got more and more attached. And then what do you see? When our Lord is at the table and St. Mary Magdalene comes in and breaks open this expensive bottle of ointment and just dumps it out on our Lord's feet, Judas notices it. And the only thing he thinks about is the cost of that ointment. And he says, this is a waste, in other words. He says, that money could have been given to the poor. And he says implicitly, but you have wasted it by pouring it out on our Lord's feet. And so you see how his love of money got worse. And then it grew and grew until finally, for 30 pieces of silver, he sold his God to be crucified. Little things lead to great. And venial sin is such an offense against God that he felt that God feels himself obliged to punish it in most terrible ways, either in this life or the next. For instance, do you know the story of Zachary in the New Testament? The angel Gabriel comes to him as he is in the temple offering sacrifice. And Gabriel tells him, though he's old and his wife is beyond years to have a child, he tells Zachary, your wife will soon have a child. And Zachary doubts for just a moment, and he's struck dumb for months, until at the birth of St. John, he calls him by name and is allowed to speak again. Or Moses, who does a small thing through incredulity, he taps that rock twice to make water flow from it, and he's not permitted to enter the promised land. Well, those who die in the state of venial sin, what is their punishment? Well, St. Gregory says, when they go to purgatory, they suffer by fire, and it is the same fire that exists in hell and punishes the damned, exists in purgatory and punishes the souls that are there. The only difference is this, that the souls in purgatory can eventually be released from those flames. And St. Thomas says that the least pain in purgatory surpasses all the sufferings of this life, whatsoever they might be. Such is the how bad venial sin is, that God punishes it in such a way. Now, all of this is very common sense to you. You've read all that I've just said in your catechism. And I know perhaps many of you are getting bored with it and all of that. And you're saying, Father, please tell me something I don't know. But it helps to hear these things over and over. And if you forget everything else from this sermon, remember this, that we are here for one single purpose. It is not for our pleasure. It is not for our comfort. It is not to make money. It is not just simply to have a good time and a good family and all of that. We are here to know, love, and serve God every moment of our life. And every time that we can waste even a single moment with a venial sin, we fail to do what we are put here to do. We, by every venial sin, we lose one degree of glory that otherwise we might have had for all eternity in heaven. Think of that. What happiness could have been yours had you not committed so many deliberate venial sins? We should strive every day to avoid not just mortal sins, strive every single day to overcome those daily deliberate venial sins, realizing that if you do that, you'll attain the degree of glory that our Lord has wished for you. Let us approach our Lord today, especially in Holy Communion, and ask Him, just as the ruler in today's Gospel, ask Him to cure the sickness of our soul, the sickness of venial sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.